In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Today is the second Sunday of the blessed month of Misra, and as I mentioned last week, that during this last Coptic month, the Church is trying to prepare us for the second coming, or for the end of the year. And we always kind of look at the end of the year, and we look back at our life, and see what it is, yani, that is perhaps broken in my life, and how I can fix it. And we spoke about brokenness and the essential and the importance of feeling this brokenness in my life when I meet the person of Christ. And today the Church gives us an example of a person who met the Lord Christ, who was broken, and then who was healed. And we see the healing, you know, today. And this is, of course, of Levi, who would become Saint Matthew the apostle and one of the 12. So we see Christ coming, and as he's passing by, he looks inside the tax office, and he sees Matthew sitting there at his desk, and then he tells him to come and follow me. And we know that the tax collectors at the time were despised among the Jews, because they were, you know, looked at as one as being traitors, because they were collecting taxes for the Romans while they themselves were Jews. And not only that, they were taking their own portion. You know, they could charge as much taxes as they'd like and pocket the rest, or the difference. So they were looked at as despised, as traitors. They're using the authority of Rome to take advantage of your own people, right? And the people already in this time were under heavy, you know, taxation. They had to pay the tithe. They also had to pay what they call a temple tax. And then they paid the tax to the Romans. So they had yani, three taxes that they had to pay, and oftentimes this was yani, most of the times it was a big burden for the people. So the Lord comes to Saint Matthew and he looks at him and says, "Follow me." And I'm sure Saint Matthew or Levi heard about Christ before and thought and looked about, you know, at how he accepts the sinners and how he called the simple fishermen, and he heard of his teaching. And he thought to himself, what a great man that he is. And he thought to himself, you know, he's great, this is fine, but I don't know where I come next to him. So, you know, I'm just going to sit here in my tax office. He looked at himself as, okay, and he, there's no way he would ever come and even talk to me. Even if I went to talk with him, he wouldn't want to keep company. Because at the time, of course, the Jewish elders, there was a defilement to talk with sinners, as we know from the passage of the Samaritan woman and the woman who was caught in adultery, and the woman in Simon the Pharisee's house. All these tell us that it was, you know, they didn't, you know, talk with the sinners. So he thought to himself, I'm not even going to try. And then when the Lord came to him and he said, "Follow me," I can't imagine what was going on in his heart. Perhaps this was something he desired, but was too embarrassed or too shy or didn't think he was worthy to even consider. And then when the Lord came and said to him, "Follow me," he got up out of his chair, left everything, and went after him. Then the Pharisees looked at this, and because they couldn't really address Christ, you know, they went to his disciples. There were still a few at the time. They went to his disciples, and they rebuked the disciples, and they said to them, "How is it that your master eats with the tax collectors and sinners? Doesn't he know that he'll be defiled when he does this?" Right? This is contrary to the law. Why is he doing this? And the disciples, they're still, you know, little babes in Christ, and they didn't know what to answer. So then Christ heard this, and he answered on their behalf. And he told the Pharisees, "Those who are well have no need of physician, but those who are sick. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. It's these, for these of whom I came." He's telling them, "I came for these people who are the tax collectors and the sinners. This is why I came." Just as a sick person doesn't need, or a healthy person doesn't need a physician, but the sick person is the one who needs the physician. So Matthew's, you know, healing, or his meeting with Christ, revealed to us some things about Christ, and also reveal to us some things about ourselves. Number one, what did his meeting reveal to us about Christ himself? It revealed to us that Christ did not come to judge. He didn't come to judge the world. There are many people that believe that Christ sits, you know, in heaven waiting for us to make a mistake so he can punish us for our mistake. This is actually a deception of the enemy, right? If he can get us to be terrified of God and scared of God to the point where we don't want anything to do with him, this is a gain. So this philosophy and this idea that God is there waiting for us to make a mistake, to punish us, and the bad things in my life and that happened to me are because of, you know, God is getting me for the sins that I committed. If this is the kind of God we think about, today Christ is telling us this is not the kind of God that I am. He is coming not to judge the world, but to save the world, as he said. Listen to what St. Cyril of Alexandria describes about this meeting between Christ and Levi. He said, Levi was a publican, a man greedy for dirty money, filled with an uncontrolled desire to possess, careless of justice and his eagerness to have what did not belong to him. Such was the character of the publicans. Yet he was snatched from the workshop of sin itself and saved when there was no hope for him. At the call of Christ, the Savior of us all, for Jesus said to him, follow me, and he left all and followed him. So he says that he came and he snatched him from the workshop of sin itself. He was in the midst of his sin, of taking advantage of people, and Christ came and he snatched him. At one call, follow me, he snatched him away. Is this the kind of God who is coming to judge the world and coming to condemn the sinners? No. He's saying that I'm coming to save the world. It's for the sinners who don't know me and who are in the midst of their sin that I come. Sometimes we lose sight of this. We sometimes think, okay, we're here in church. I do my best in trying to live a godly life. And we look at the rest of the world and we condemn them and say they're not worthy to be in the church, or you know, if they come into the church, we give them, you know, bad looks and dirty looks. Who is she that she's coming into the church? We know what she's been doing, and so on. We take this, we actually become this false God that we put in our mind, that we become the judges. But Christ himself, when he came, he didn't come to judge. The judgment is reserved for the second time he comes. But after the first time, he's coming to save the world. The second thing we learn about Christ himself was that he considered the sinner as somebody who was sick. He considered the sinner as somebody who was sick. And anytime we meet somebody who is maybe severely ill or is sick, it almost demands from us compassion, demands from us to maybe help or to give him some kind of guidance, you know, or give him a message of hope. When we meet somebody who is sick, this is, you know, how we would respond to somebody who is sick. When a sick person goes to a physician and he begins to complain about, you know, the sickness or the symptoms that they're feeling, the physician doesn't say, why do you have a runny nose? Why don't you wear your jacket like your mother told you when you went out? He's not there to condemn the sick person because this is not good for his healing. It won't heal. Right, but he's there to diagnose the disease and offer the cure, right? No, he doesn't, you know, tell him, why are you sick? And we notice here as well that the Lord Christ didn't downplay or didn't, you know, that the people were sinners. He didn't say that they weren't sinners. You know, sometimes, you know, we sometimes downplay the sin and we say, oh yeah, we're all sinners, as if it's nothing. You know, we are all sinners, so he kind of downplays it. No. He came to heal the sickness of our sin. And I think a really, really good example of this is the passage of the Good Samaritan that we're all familiar with, that we learned from when we were kids. If we look at this passage, it says that a man was going from Jerusalem to Jericho. Jerusalem is the city of God, and Jericho is a Gentile city. So we look at this and say, Jerusalem is like heaven, and Jericho is like the world, the place of sin, right? So there was a man who was falling from heaven to sin. And on his way, as he was going, he was met by thieves and robbers, and they beat him and left him half dead. Who are these men that were beating him? These were the demons. All of us are, were that guy or that man who went from Jerusalem to Jericho. We're on this road in the midst of this world, and we have the demons who are trying to beat us and get us to sin and to be addicted to sin and be in the misery of sin, and leaving us there half dead. And then we find one who's coming, who's we say is the Good Samaritan, who looked at him, and the Bible says they looked upon him and had compassion. He didn't know the guy, and the Samaritans had no dealings with the Jews. He didn't say, you know, I'll be defiled if I touch him, although the Jews perhaps would have said the same, or would have said the opposite. He didn't say that. He looked to him as a fellow human being, and he's in need. And he looked and had compassion on him, bandaged his wounds, took him to the inn, you know, and helped him to be made well. Who is this Good Samaritan? It's Christ. It's Christ who came for you and I, who have been beaten and left half dead by the enemy. Christ came and he looks at the sin and the sinner as somebody who is sick. And we need to understand, Yani, these two things. That when Christ came and he comes and he looks at us, he doesn't look at us to judge us and to condemn us, but to save us. And the second thing, he looks at our sin as a sickness and as an illness that needs to be healed. Not something as, you know, I need to, you know, sift them and get rid of those sick sinners. His response is similar to that of the physician. When the patient goes to the physician's office, and especially if it's something maybe that's really tough, the physician can't help but be compassionate to them, and especially if they're in a difficult circumstance. And the physician desires healing for the patient who's coming to him, and perhaps he's willing to exhaust all measures to grant healing to the patient. This is what we learn about Christ. What about, do we learn about ourselves in this passage? In order for us to be healed by Christ, we must recognize that we are sick. In order for us to be healed by Christ, the first thing we have to recognize about ourselves that we are sick. If any of us, you know, don't feel ill, do we go to the physician? We don't go to the physician. We don't go. We only go if I don't feel well. Then when I don't feel well, we go. So the same is saying here, Christ has come for the sinner. If you look at yourself and you look at yourself and say, I'm a sinner, then yes, he will come and he will heal you. But if I look to myself and say, I don't know, I'm okay, then there's nothing for him to do. Some people will come into confession and we'll sit, and we sit there quietly for a minute, and I say, do you have, you know, anything to confess? But I really can't think of anything, Yani, that I really did, Yani, that was, Yani, terrible. So then immediately I begin to think, okay, this guy's probably a saint, and I don't know it. We have saints walking among us, and I don't know it. So I'm looking back for the oil that's going to drip from his hands or her hands, and see. So I said before, I get excited. I said, okay, can I ask a couple of questions? And said, sure. Okay. How's your prayer life? My what? Your prayer life. Do you pray? Yeah. I pray, Yani, Our Father in the morning. And then, Yani, I look to heaven throughout the day. Okay. And do you read the Bible? I get sometimes, you know, these messages on Facebook that have verses. So I read them. Okay. How about your relationships? Oh, I'm upset. My friends, they annoy me. They bother me. I have an issue with my brother and my dad. Me and him don't get along. Okay, that's good. And how about, do you love your enemies? Do I what? No, I don't love my enemies. So, okay, the person's sick and he doesn't know it, right? It's very hard to offer healing to somebody who thinks that they're fine, right? It's impossible. Christ himself wouldn't do it. But the person who comes to him and recognizes that I'm a sinner, he will offer the healing. First thing we have to do is recognize that we are sick. And for a person who comes and doesn't see that there's much anything wrong in their life, confession will do nothing for them. And actually, The mysteries will do nothing for them. Because it's for those who feel that they need the Savior, not somebody who feels that they're okay and well without them. I can get along without it. All the workings of grace will only work in those who feel that they have that need. So accepting that we are sick is admitting that we have sin and that we're broken. And we come before Christ with this brokenness, asking to be healed. Not only do we need to recognize our weakness, our sickness, and our brokenness, but we also must go to Him. When Christ looked at St. Matthew and said to him, "Follow me," did he just sit there and stare at him? No, he got up and he left, right? So he understood that he was sick, and then he says, "No, I have to go as well with him to be healed." The same thing. A sick person may recognize their sickness and not go to the physician. Sometimes we'll have people that say, "How are you feeling?" "Oh, I'm not doing too well. So let's go to the doctor." No, no, no. Just call the doctor and tell him that I have a runny nose, my back hurts, and this, and just tell him my symptoms. But it doesn't work that way. The doctor needs to see you in the office, right? So he can examine you and then get a thorough understanding. Just telling him some symptoms over the phone is not going to give the right, you know, prescription. It's not going to give to the right kind of healing. I need to get up and go, right? So this getting up and go is something that we must do. Many people will come and say, "Abuna, pray for me to stop smoking, to stop this sin, to stop going to this place, to stop cursing." And then I'll say, "Okay, I will pray for you. But do you pray for yourself?" And oftentimes I get this look like, "What do you mean? It's enough that you pray for me, Abuna. I don't have to pray for myself." No, no, no. You have to pray for yourself, because that tells God that you want to be healed. My prayer will do nothing if you don't pray for yourself. Right? You have to desire to be healed. Then maybe the prayer of a righteous man will avail much. But if I don't want the healing myself, then I'm just saying this kid just to please Abuna, to give him something he wants to hear. So we have to pray for our own sins before we ask other people to pray for us. It's like we cannot be healed without going to the Lord in our brokenness. Those who are not coming to be healed by Christ are doing one of two things. Either they're ignoring the reality of their life and what's really going on, or they're avoiding God altogether. They're avoiding God, they're avoiding Abuna, they're avoiding the church altogether. And say, if I avoid them, then I don't have to face the reality of who I really am. But that's just fooling ourselves, right? I can't, at the time of war, I can't stick my head in the dirt and say that the war is over. No, the war is going to continue if my head's in the dirt or not. But the true warrior and the soldier will get up and face, the enemy. Matthew's healing only came because he left the tax table. And this leads to the last thing we realize about ourselves, or that Christ revealed to us about ourselves and about the reality of things, is there can be no mixture between the old life and the new life. When he left the tax table, do we ever find a moment where Matthew comes to the Lord and says, "I think we're just tight on money here as a group"? And perhaps maybe when they were in the wilderness and they had the 5,000, they wanted to feed them. Matthew could have thought to himself, "You know what, I was a tax collector. I can get you that money for all of these people. No problem. Just let me go back to the tax office." Did he say that? No. When he left the tax office, this was the last time he saw the tax office. He didn't mix the two together. And this is what, the rest of the passage here told us. The Lord gave them two parables. He told them about the new wine going into new wineskin. He says when you put new wine into new wineskin, they expand together after the fermentation. They both expand. But if I take old wineskin that's already expanded and stretched, and I put new wine in it, then when the wine ferments, it will burst, right? So we can't mix the new and the old together, but they have to be together. He says the same thing for the garment. If you take an old piece of garment and we try to sew a new piece of garment in it, and then, you know, we do it once the new garment begins to, stretch, it will rip the garment. So you can't mix the two. So he's telling us you can't mix the old life and the new life. So when we come from baptism, we're all baptized and we put on the white garment, the new life. This should be the new man. We shouldn't have the mixture of the two. This is why St. Paul teaches us, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has the righteous with lawlessness? And what communion has light with the darkness? What communion has light with darkness? There is no communion. The problem is, my beloved, that sometimes we feel like we want one foot in and one foot out. I can lean on the foot out when I want a kid to have fun in the world and do the things that are pleasing to the body, but then keep the one foot in the church, so whenever I get tired of this or I feel like I'm getting like becoming a bad person, I can lean on the other foot. But that's not the way it works. The Lord Christ actually tells us that these two are mutually exclusive. The old and the new are mutually exclusive. The moment I go into the world and do the things of the world, I take off the new garment and put on the old garment. The new garment is always waiting in the confession room. After we come and we confess, the new garment is waiting. But the two can't be put on together. We have to choose. And that's why you'll find in your lives, when I begin walking in the way of darkness, there will always be this fork in the road that I must choose. Am I going to choose to do what is right? Or am I going to choose to follow my co-workers and my friends and do what is wrong and be accepted by them? Am I going to do what's right and be willing to be alone? There'll always be this fork in the road because you can't combine them together. St. Paul tells us, for the flesh lusts against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another. They are contrary to one another. One's positive, one's negative. They don't mix, right? It's one or the other. We often try to live both, but we'll always find ourselves at this fork in the road. We must choose either light or darkness. The Old Testament, it tells us that God told us that I've put before you the way of life and the way of death. Choose life that you and your children may live. It says there's always going to be this fork in the road, but I advise you to choose the way of life. So we see that in this passage that Christ revealed to us two things about himself. That he did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. And number two, that he looks at the sinner as someone who is sick. And we need to do the same. We look at ourselves as being sick, and we look at our neighbor who's sinning as also being somebody who's sick, not somebody who's worthy of condemnation. And then we realize about ourselves, we have to realize that we're sick, and only when we realize this could we be healed. And number two, we must get up and go to the physician. We can't just sit here and do nothing. And number three, we can't mix the old and the new garment, the old life and the new life. This is what we learned today. But I'd like to leave you with one final observation. When St. Matthew experienced the healing of from the Lord, what did he do? The Bible tells us that he gave him a great feast. And who did he invite to this feast? Other tax collectors and sinners, right? He invited all the other tax collectors that he was there. He thought to himself, if I experience this kind of renewal and this kind of salvation and this kind of healing from Christ, perhaps my neighbor who is in a similar broken situation might experience the same thing. And what was it that led to this was St. Matthew's feeling of his own brokenness. How many of our family and friends and colleagues would come to Christ if we ourselves accepted that we were sick? How many of my family members would come to Christ if I myself accepted my own sickness? This is it, my beloved. When I accept my own sickness and my own brokenness, and I come and I tell my brethren, look what Christ healed in me and my brokenness, this would be attracting for them. And they might be saved. And the contrary is true. When I don't, I spread my disease and my infection among my family, my colleagues, and my friend. It's like the flu. You know what makes an epidemic? It's because people are sick and they don't realize it and they don't get the treatment. So we end up having the flu and we cough on each other And we say, no, it's not the flu, it's just a small, cold. And it ends up spreading. And we all end up being sick. The same is true. When I go along in my life, and I'm sick and I don't realize it, this sickness and this darkness will spread to my brethren, and my family, and my friends, and my colleagues, and so on. So if there is a sickness in me, I need to heal it, go to the physician to heal myself, and also for the healing of my brethren, as St. Matthew did. And through his recognizing that he was sick, he offered then the healing to his brethren, because he himself realized that he was sick. May God grant us to look within ourselves, to recognize our sickness, and to offer up a true repentance. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen.